Brothers and sisters, today we celebrate the crowning truth of our faith in Christ, the physical and bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead is a foundational truth the church has proclaimed since her very beginnings. It has been handed on as fundamental by tradition going back to the apostles, unambiguously established by the divinely inspired word of God in the New Testament, and preached as an essential part of the Paschal mystery along with the cross. Jesus Christ is risen from the grave. Alleluia. Now, I want to be absolutely clear when I say that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. First, we do not mean this in any allegorical or metaphorical way. Jesus is not raised from the dead in some vaguely spiritual way, as some might say, risen in our hearts. No, we mean Jesus rose from the dead bodily and physically. We see this in the gospel. The evangelists are at pains to tell us that the resurrected Christ possessed the same body that was tortured and crucified. He still bears the marks and the wounds in his wound in his side, and yet Christ's body is transformed into a glorified body. Secondly, we also don't mean that Jesus was merely resuscitated to life, right? Take, for instance, Jesus's friend Lazarus. So Jesus raised him from the dead. However, it would be more technically correct to say Christ resuscitated Lazarus, because Lazarus was restored to a natural life and he died later on. Christ, in his transformed and glorified body, dies no more. And really, the third point that I want to emphasize is that the resurrection is true. It happened. It is history in the proper sense of the word. Now, we live in this age of skepticism and doubt and unbelief. Frankly, we live in a society that biases us against assenting to what I just said, that the resurrection of Jesus from the dead is an objective historical truth. But here's the deal. There is no middle ground. Either Jesus rose from the dead or he didn't. The faith hangs on the foundation of the resurrection. St. Paul got this. He said as much 2,000 years ago when he said, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is vain. So how do we know it's true? Well, we could talk about the eyewitness accounts of scripture to the resurrection. There are many. For the sake of time, I'll just mention one. In 1 Corinthians, St. Paul says the risen Christ appeared to Peter, then to the rest of the apostles. And then the risen Christ appeared to 500 brothers at once, most of whom were still alive at the time Paul wrote that. And he said they were still alive. It's as if he's saying, if you doubt me, go talk to these hundreds of people who saw the risen Christ. Or we could look at the tomb, especially the fact that the tomb was guarded by at least four men, possibly more. These men were soldiers, certainly more experienced in combat than a band of fishermen and tax collectors. Moreover, had they fallen asleep or left their posts, they would have violated the law and faced the consequences. And even still, I mean, this brings up the rather ironic point. The foes of Christ were afraid he would rise from the dead, so guards were posted outside his tomb. It has to be the only time in history guards were placed at a tomb to keep the dead man inside. But of course, I've often thought the greatest piece of evidence for the resurrection is the transformation of Christ's apostles. You know, the apostles are not exactly covered in glory in the Gospels. And we see, just to take some of the more dramatic examples, Judas betrays Christ, obviously. Peter denies him three times. Of the remaining 10 apostles, 9 fled in cowardice. Only John remained at the foot of the cross. Yet these men, who acted by and large so shamefully on Good Friday, 40, 50 days later, are boldly proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, are boldly proclaiming the need for others to repent and be baptized in Jerusalem, not far from where Christ was crucified. The same people who killed Jesus, who conspired to kill him, they're still around. They can do the same to Peter and James and John and the apostles. But you know, Peter, who crumpled in the face of a question from a maid, don't you know this man? Peter now boldly proclaims the truth. He's been transformed. And then these men, they go and die a martyr's death eventually at various times. And all except for John, not because people didn't try to kill him. They did, but when they couldn't, they exiled him to Patmos. People don't die for what they know to be a lie. These 10 went to their martyrdom because they firmly, with every fiber of their soul, believe Jesus Christ really, truly, physically, bodily rose from the grave. The resurrection is true. And because Jesus really and truly rose from the grave, that changes everything. The resurrection of Christ changes everything because death is overcome. Before Christ's resurrection, death had come for all men. None had returned from the grave. Rich or poor, famous or anonymous, good or evil, it didn't matter. All died and none returned. But by his resurrection from the grave, Jesus Christ has destroyed the prison bars of death. He has triumphed victoriously over the grave. Death has no more claim on us. The resurrection changes everything because it signals to us that God has won the definitive victory over all powers of evil, sin, and death. True, we still live in a world in which it often seems that the powers of evil rule. However, this crowning truth that Jesus really, truly, bodily rose from the grave is our certain assurance that death and evil do not have the last word, but God does. And that in the end, life will be victorious. The resurrection of the Lord changes everything because it means that though we might live in a veil of tears, the day will come when the Lord will wipe every tear away. The resurrection of Christ is a precursor to when our Lord will destroy death forever and usher in a new heaven and a new earth. Behold, I make all things new, Christ says in the book of Revelation. This is what he does with the resurrection. This is what he wants to do with us and all of creation. This is what our tired, cynical world needs. This is what we need. This is what I need. This changes everything. The resurrection of Christ changes everything, and it will change us, or rather he will, if only we let him. God created us without our consent, but he won't save us without our cooperation. So how do we allow him to change us? We come here. We receive the sacraments. Sacraments are not human, man-made rituals. They are instituted by Jesus Christ himself, entrusted to the church, entrusted to the apostles and their successors. The sacraments are our way of coming into vital contact with the risen Lord so that he can change us. May we frequent the sacraments. May we allow the resurrection of Christ to transform us as our Lord, risen Lord, transformed the apostles. May he change us into the saints he created us to be.